This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station,
Joy 94.9.
Queer Geeks of Oz, because not all geeks are the same, and not all queer geeks are the same. Queer Geeks of Oz, because allies are important, and because you can like Batman and Spider-Man. Queer Geeks of Oz, because Professor Oak doesn't know how to politely ask which pronoun you prefer, and then goes on to assume you're cisgendered anyway. Queer Geeks of Oz, because we want to explore stories and worlds as characters other than straight white dudes. Queer Geeks of Oz, because we want to explore stories and worlds as characters that represent ourselves.
Queer Geeks of Oz,
because we want to explore stories and worlds as characters other than ourselves.
Queer Geeks of Oz,
because we want to see what it would look like if we put Tumblr on a stage.
Queer Geeks of Oz.
Okie dokie. All right, so I'll just get started and we can begin. And we'll just cover, obviously, what you're doing, Andrew. Doing a couple of things for Midsummer. And yep. Jimmy, how many things are you doing?
Just one.
It's just the one. Well, that's enough.
apart from my bowling league, but that's a different part of me.
So. Unless you're wearing a cape.
No, I won't be wearing a cape.
Okay, well, then it doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
All right. So this is Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy in 94.9, and we're examining something that's very special for us, particularly because Midsummer is coming in Jan for 2015, Midsummer Festival here in Melbourne town. And, throughout the Melbourne region, we'll see all sorts of wonderful activities and events, and the program's looking really healthy this year, which is good, because I say that because it looks like it's got the sort of genre we love and adore. And one of the things that's happening is Cartooning with Pride on the 28th of January, and we have spoken about it before because we had Jimmy live on the show before. Here he is again this time around. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. Talking about this event for Midsummer. And we also have a new to Sci-Fi and Scream. We've got Andrew Lee. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me as well.
That's Sonia. Great. But Andrew's pretty special too, because he's got a couple of big things happening. One of them, obviously, is your exhibition that's coming up.
Yeah. I've got an exhibition at Laird Hotel. They had a competition, an art competition in June. It's called the Men on Men Art Competition, and just celebrating masculinity. So I actually won the grand prize for that. And yeah, one of the prizes was my own exhibition during Midsummer. So
cool.
Yeah, working really hard from then till now on that.
It's probably, I've never been in the Laird.
Yeah.
Funnily enough.
Well, you'll have the opportunity to go there during their open day.
Okay, so that's good. And your work will be there, I hope.
Yeah, I get apparently two balls, I think, to showcase my work. I'm just thinking right now, yeah, hopefully there's enough and people, yeah, like it and think it's cool.
So it'll be open during the day, during your exhibition, or?
The open day is on January 17, 3 o'clock, 3 p.m. to 6, cool. And yeah, everyone's welcome on that day. So yeah, come check it out.
And so how many pieces will you have in the exhibition?
Right now it's between 9 and 10.
But also, Andrew, you were on the panel for Cartooning with Pride, and I'll go over to Jimmy now and he can explain a bit more about what that panel's all about.
Yeah, so we're organising an event for Midsummer this year called Cartooning with Pride, and hopefully this will be a catalyst for a series of industry workshops with the queer cartooning and comic book industry in Australia, perhaps we don't really have one at the moment, but it's more discussing the reasons why we haven't been pushing forward as head as we possibly could be, and also gives the opportunity for people who may want to get into the industry to come along and talk to people who have gone through the process themselves or might be still going through the process. And also there's people who are already in the field can talk about what they wish to be happening in the future, and I guess we can have a bit more of a collaborative effort to make sure that happens.
That sounds good, and it's quite an extensive list of people you've got that will be part of that panel. Queenie Chan?
Yeah, so Queenie Chan's a Sydney-based graphic novelist and illustrator. She started her career of self-publishing her own horror stories in graphic novel format, and so she's had quite a lot of success with those few series, and more recently, so I guess within this this decade that she was then looking at adapting some of the Dean Koontz novels, the Odd Thomas series, into graphic novel format. And most recently, she was then also looking at the Boys' Book of Positive Quotations by Fairview Press. And so she's going to be talking via Skype, so let's hope for no technology failure there, about how to self-start in this industry and also why she chose, I guess, her passion, which is horror graphic novels, which I guess most people, when they think of comic books and graphic novels, they think of the big two, the Marvel and DC, so men in spandex fighting it out and tall buildings. The world's actually far more complex than that. And speaking with a lot of comic book retailers, the female readership has just continually increased over the years, and not so much in response to the big Avenger-type movies, but more for the, I guess, the deeper storylines and perhaps darker storylines. And so Queenie will be talking about the horror graphic novel industry and how that's taken off over recent years as well.
Cool. And she has LGBTIQ characters, doesn't she, in some of her work, I believe?
Yeah, she does. So
it's nice to include. Yep.
Del's quite into quite dark themes also, which...
Oh, which we love. Well, yes. Personally. Yeah, no, I do love her work. It's really very polished as well, and I'm not sure how biographical it is, because we do see a lot of women go into the more, I guess, semi-biographical type of work. Nothing wrong with that, of course, but more in the independent, smaller publications. I'm not sure if it's any different for guys, but let's talk.
I think most
to you.
Guys want to be strong and in spandex.
Yeah, more than spandex. But Andrew, let's talk about you and your work and your background. You're a graphic designer, yeah?
Yeah, that's what I do, I guess, for my primary job. But
yes,
I've also just been into drawing since from whenever I can remember. And I think it began just, you know, as a kid, you know, watching cartoons on TV. But then after that, I started looking into like actual comics in independent comics at places like just, you know, Minotaur or Sticky Institute, and seeing, you know, just everyday people creating stuff, telling stories, and even though it's not obviously, you know, perfect and polished, it's still them putting out stories, and I just thought, you know, I can do this as well. And then that's when I started doing illustrations, and on top of that, illustrations that, I guess, tell stories and have, like, a sense of narrative as well.
No, cool. Yeah, I do like... I was looking at your Tumblr, and I really love the retro style that you incorporate and that you use, that type of style. It's quite minimalist, and also the Catwoman, I really liked those.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what year you did those, but...
Yeah, I think that was just, yeah, that was for the last, or maybe this year. I know which one you're talking about. Yeah, I like to mix, I guess, traditional media as well with digital effects. Mm. So I'm a huge fan of Copic markers and a bit of watercolour, and just to get that raw organic effect.
Yeah, I love it. And the pencil line, the cat. I mean, there was a cat there, and I'm a cat person, as everyone knows. It's a bit sad, really.
No, I'm a cat person too. Yeah.
Yay, Jimmy.
Toto 3 ain't bad.
Oh, well, you're outnumbered today. Okay. Excellent stuff. So who are your influences? I mean, if you had an artist or any artist that...
I'd have to say one of my biggest influences is an American comic artist. His name's Ross Campbell. And the instant I saw his work, he really pushed the boundaries of what you see in comics and media in art, because he does his own comics and he just explores different body types, different sexualities. It just breaks the boundaries of what's conventional in terms of appearance and just, yeah, personality and all these exploring different subcultures. Yeah, basically, it kind of encouraged me to explore characters that weren't just the story you see out there all the time, the typical straight, suburban, like, mainstream gay lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You also have a lot of intersectional characteristics coming into place. Yeah, and I think it's important to explore that beyond what's just fed to us and regurgitating it. You have to kind of bring yourself into it and, yeah, make it unique.
Is that what you try to do with your work as well?
I think so. I mean, you always meet new people and interesting people, and it's great to draw inspiration from that, but also to remain true to yourself, because I did create a comic for uni, and most characters I wrote in the story were straight, and at the time I thought, you know, this is pretty cool and pretty funny, pretty awesome, but then looking back, it's like, okay, I don't actually relate to those characters now, and I realised I probably should have been more honest with myself in terms of that.
And now that's what you try to do?
Yeah, definitely, because what I really want to see more, I guess, in art, and especially queer art, is more racial representation, racial diversity, because, as an Asian person of colour, queer person of colour, that is pretty much non-existent for the most part when you look at mainstream gay media.
I think you've definitely hit a subject there that is important, definitely. Now, again, I was on your Tumblr site. I love Tumblr. And one of the characters you've got there, a unique one, is a character of Jake, which was that for some project that you had? Jake is a queer Asian.
That was one of the characters in my first comic I did. I didn't end up exploring him too much in it, but basically I just wanted to create a character that was an Asian character beyond what you see in most movies. And they're often, like, you know, stereotypes, either the gawky nerd or some kung fu master or something, yeah. or like yeah. someone who speaks with a really brash accent. And I feel like, you know, there's so many local Asian Americans, Asian Australians, and you just don't see those in media, in TV. And yeah, so often they just get cast aside as sidekicks or jokes.
Or they die off.
Yeah.
One of the first. It's terrible in a horror movie. It's true. Like whenever you see the usual, you know, the usual trope and the usual lineup of characters, you'll have an Asian American, if it's an American film, African American. Usually there's some ethnic female who's alone. She's usually a geek too, isn't she?
Yes.
And then there's the evil couple that want to have sex, heterosexual sex, of course, and they always die off. Usually it's the, in most cases, it's the African American first, then the Asian character, then the female lonely single character, and then the evil sexy couple, heterosexuals, that die off. It's just the way it's always been.
Yeah.
It'd be good to change. It's good to change that.
Yeah.
And if you can do it with graphic novels and comics and cartoons, I think that's a good thing. Mm. Good on you.
Oh, cheers. Yeah. I think it's just great thing. To say, you know, we have a voice and put it out there. I mean, just that's just the first step to raising that awareness and visibility of people that don't really get represented or, you know,
and do you have any of your work that is available to people if they wanted to read any comics that you have out there? That
the comic I created years ago is in store in Minotaur, I think. I don't know if it's sold or not. I've been posting more one-off illustrations, doing more of that as of late. So you can definitely see that online. And if you want the URL, it's probably easy if you find my Facebook, which is Andy Lee Art, Andy, A-N-D-Y-L-I.
Mm-hmm.
Art,
okay.
Extension for the Facebook art. Page, yep.
Oh, yes. Cool, excellent. Fingers crossed. Why is it Screaming Donut is the Tumblr
yes,
page
you remember that one.
Yes.
I should probably stick with that. That's more memorable than my actual name.
It does scream out at you, literally.
Yeah, I remember the Screaming Donut.
What is with Screaming Donut? Is this a real thing?
No, I just made it up because I wanted something...
For people to remember.
Well, not using my name, because I wanted that Tumblr to be a bit more just casual, a bit more less professional. So I thought donut, and I thought of these adjectives like magic donut, flying donut. All of them were taken. Screaming wasn't taken, so I took screaming. And it's
I
like,
can't
yeah.
see why screaming wasn't taken.
Yeah.
Because I can see, you know, a donut. I mean, that hole.
I
you
should
know,
draw one,
like,
yeah.
You know, what's it, that monk image of the monk? Not the monk, but Edvard Munch.
The scream.
The scream.
Oh, yes.
Do a screaming donut. Yummy, with rainbow colours, I hope.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and Jimmy, of course, I keep thinking, I know you're the organiser behind, of course, Cartooning with Pride, and I'm always forgetting that you are also an artist. And I'm apologising, because I think it's the second time I've done that. Because as an organiser, you just organise. You don't do any artwork.
So, that's what it seems to be lately, but no, I've had a bit of history with Midsummer, so I've been involved with their visual arts group for quite a few years.
Cool,
so unfortunately health problems, had to have a break from it from this year, so I thought to take it easy, I'll do this workshop instead. So,
and look how busy you are.
Yes, we won't talk about that right now, but yeah, so I do more ink and brush type work. So I myself always been entering the Minutemen art competitions, so
cool.
Out to Andy.
You enter this year?
Yeah, I enter every year.
Which one was yours? I'm sorry, I feel like I should know. I can't recall.
A lot of my work are these teddy bear sketches, which came about that I used to organise my own life drawing group that I called Bent Lines, and that ran for a bit over a year. And upon had some like health problems, so I decided that, okay, I'll have a bit of a quit from that. I still wanted to continue doing life drawing, and my partner at the time gave me this little teddy bear that I just started positioning with gaffer tape, which sounds pretty crude, that to put to poses, and I was doing
ink and brush.
So this
isn't Paddington Bear, is it?
No, it's just like this scruffy little bear.
Yeah.
And then I entered those into the Metal Man art competition, and I have to say, the men that led love a teddy bear. So they've been doing
funny
very
that.
Well. So that was my work for quite a while. Now I've been more delving into my passion of comic books and comic strips, so playing around with a little character called Frankie at the moment, a gay zombie, and through this online publishing entity called Topastic. So as one of the speakers for this event, we'll have Michael Sun, who's the director of content, calling in for a Q&A session. So this is came about from an initiative, I think from memory, from some ex-Google employees that it was a crowd-raising initiative that they brought in. I think they brought in a few million dollars from venture capitalists to starts this process that you'll have this free online publishing forum for people who are doing comic work. Mm-hmm. And it could be that someone who's just doing a one-off strip, or mm-hmm. it could be someone who's experimenting with a full series. Mm-hmm. The authors or creators still have their ownership of the work, so they're able to publish it in whatever forums, but it's a way for them both to build a fan base and also to get their work out there. So
this is Tapastic.
Yeah, Tapastic.
Yeah, it's a great initiative. Good on them.
Yeah.
And so he's on the, be one of the people that we'll be chatting to for Cartooning with Pride.
Yes, definitely. Cool. So I think that this is going to be my main focus for this event, to show that with other people like Andy doing his illustrated work and Beanie with her self-starting in the industry, and we've got some of the more pillars of the industry, so Kenton Penley Miller, for instance, with some of his cartooning work that dates back to Outrage magazine, that it'll be giving a bit of like an overall picture about what elements people have to consider to get into the industry. And now you can actually get into it for free. You can put your stuff out there and see people like it. There's no real risk involved, because the worst that will happen is that people don't like it. So you can experiment and see what takes off based on, I guess, the fan base that might be generated from it. So I know that with my own, like, Frankie strip, that I might put certain skits up and some jokes no one gets, and obviously doesn't go very far. And then there's others that I'm surprised about how successful it has gotten. Then I find out that in a week it's gotten like 1,000 views around the world, and there's people in South Korea following it then and saying how much they like it. And it's a good sort of response to get from the work.
And with that knowledge and information that you get with this online forum content place, Tapastic, what does that do for the comic artist with that information? What do you think comic artists will get out of that?
I think it's one to build experience and to help them refine their work. I think the unfortunate reality in the comic book industry at the moment is that there's very few people who might get picked up from a comic book convention by one of the big Marvel, DC, Dark Horse entities to create work for them. But so what people have to do is self-start. They have to self-publish. There are a lot of forums and initiatives now. You can even publish digitally online, but still is a bit of an investment, particularly for someone who's starting out. So I think Tapastic plays a wave that people can play with their creative process and find out what's successful, and I guess increase the chances of success when they do publish, because they're generating the fan base without any capital outlay, which wasn't able to be done previously.
Even 5 years ago, you probably couldn't do that successfully anyway. So
exactly.
That sounds great. A great initiative. Now, of course, let's get back to looking at the LGBTIQ of the whole venture, I guess. And where do you think, for a queer representation and so on, queer artists, where do you think they should go with that, say, online area? Is it a good place for queer artists to feel safe as well?
Yeah, so there's nothing with regards to those themes that you can even have quite, I guess, confronting themes. There is a opportunity, I guess, to put an adult block so you can filter content if you're going to really, really deep and dark places or something that you don't think is appropriate for children. I haven't heard any negative response for homophobic content. That's one thing they don't tolerate on that forum.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
And also, there is a quite active filtering process with regards to any comments given, and that to try to give equal representation to everyone. So I think that's something, and I'm looking forward to talking with Michael Moore during Cartooning with Pride about how proactive they're actually being, more so than some of the bigger publishing entities at the present.
Yes, there's still a long way to go. Maybe that's how it happens. We used to call it, you know, grassroots, but I guess the internet has democratized in many ways people to get their message or just their work out there or what they want to see. And for you, Andrew, how important is it for you to have or to see queer comics?
I think it's really important because, in a way, I guess seeing stories that relate to you, in a way, kind of encompassing you into society, whereas when you see yourself excluded, not represented in anything out there, you kind of feel like you're a bit of an outsider, essentially, and you don't know how people react, how people think. So when you do see, you know, queer content out there, it does show that, you know, society is more accepting, we're moving forward. It was definitely great to see more of that getting just displayed, getting put out in the open, and yes, I think that's really exciting to see, yeah, the progression.
Cool. And for yourself, for your work, will you be, in more recent times in the future, will you be looking into going online more or putting a graphic novel together online or digitally? Or
Definitely, it's actually something.
Do you want to print something as well? Like,
I think both would be
old
good
school,
yeah,
you know.
And both are great, but I think the problem with doing it traditionally printing wise is that it takes a lot longer to do the pages, get them all finished and go to the publisher, physically print it, whereas doing it digitally online, you can show people straight away, scan it, and then you can, you know, get people interested progressively instead of doing all your work by yourself and then unleashing the finished product. So people get to know you, you know, in a journey on some degree if you just, go the digital path. And I think that's something, that I could definitely want to follow and try out.
And, you know, without giving too much away, what would you do? Do you have in mind any story that you would really love to do?
I think so. Just the stories I like, the comics I do like to read are, a lot of them are kind of, you know, slice of life, everyday stories, and just exploring different personalities, different characters and social scenarios, and also romance, you know, sexuality, things like that, just everyday issues. And it'd be great to explore topics that don't often get discussed or seen in comics, at least in mainstream comics anyway, and then still make it entertaining, you know, still be a bit silly, be a bit funny. And yeah, I think that's the type of stuff I tend to enjoy reading. It'd be great to,
Well, I'm curious about the Jake character, and I want to know, is this character, is he going to be involved in the future with you?
I think so. I think a lot of artists, they do autobiographical comics, which is great because they literally draw from their experiences. And you kind of need that to write compelling and authentic stories. So I don't necessarily want to do that myself, not literally. I find having, I can also, you know, use fiction to and my own experiences to create these stories, explore these issues.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And also elaborate and, make something entertaining that's also insightful. So, the Jake character is definitely a character I want to follow, pursue, and he's kind of like a reflection of me to some degree, but also not because it is fictional, you know. I'll make stuff up along the way.
You can make him to be whatever you want, can't you?
Yeah, pretty much. And but then him and also just a lot of other characters I'd like to explore that would have the voices I would love to read and hear about that I wouldn't necessarily have seen somewhere else or heard before. So yeah, just topics like not only just queer life and, you know, LGBTQI, but also intersectional issues like race and gender and things like that.
I think that's where it's all heading, and it's really important to see that and to have artists in Australia, creators, because, you know, it's not always just the artist that does the comic by themselves. Sometimes they get actual writers come in and do that side of it and they collaborate together. Is that something you guys have pursued or will pursue?
Something I'm certainly looking into. I guess for me, that my main passion in the comic book is more the writing than the drawing. So
you do both.
I try to do as well as I can for it, but certainly I think for future projects would be you need to sometimes have a bit more of a multidisciplinary team to bring the best out of large scale projects, because I think nowadays it's very rare for anyone to have their sole job to be a graphic novelist. They will have a full-time job or sometimes two jobs, and then you just have to sacrifice your Friday nights to be able to get things done. So I think it's kudos to those who are able to self-publish and do every single element from concept to completion themselves. I think that's one thing also why I'm wanting to get out of this Cartooning with Pride initiative, is to be able to get people together, that if someone does have a good story idea, to get people together. Like, I've got editorial experience to get with people like Andy, who are like accomplished illustrators, and if they're wanting to put a print format, to get in touch with good inkers around and to get that sort of process going without having to go to the expense of going through some mainstream publishing firm.
Topastic, does that have the opportunities to link people with, say, you wanted a colorist that you admire or someone that can do it a certain way you want? Does it link you with people?
It does work through social media. So one thing that's encouraged both is to not only promote your work, which you can promote your work with any of the forms of social media, which is like Facebook, Google+, Twitter, Instagram. They all can link to all those. But also then you have the opportunity to subscribe and follow other artists who might do similar work. My reading list, they're calling it a reading list there, is just getting so long I don't have time to catch up with it at the moment. But in terms of the talent there, it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and fantastic.
One thing they also have as initiative is that they also screen what they see as promising talent and will be showcasing it. So you'll get, I think it's like a weekly email that they will say, okay, this person's been trending, so they're getting higher sort of views that maybe other people want to look at their work. Or this is someone who they consider to have great artistic merit, to have a look at their work as well, or things that might be similar to your own work. So I'm following a lot of, I guess, my passions also in the horror genre, weekly zombie themes. So there's quite a lot on Topastic at the moment, and that's what's it's quite great to look into that sort of work.
It just sounds wonderful. I know it doesn't really make any difference because if it's not an Australian venture, because we have an online communities now, but is there any equivalent like that that's Australian grown or based?
Not really. I think for Australia that the main issue, I think, in the whole industry, I think it's more stemming from the print form, is that it's very difficult for people to get up and running. Like, there's only a few publishing houses that deal with comics or graphic novels in Australia, and they're, even though they do have quite good success stories, they're also quite selective in which they what they pick in for their work. So I guess it's quite disheartening for new people to try to get their foot in the door for that. And those that offer self-publishing services, I guess now that you can do print on demand, thanks to the initiatives like what Amazon are doing and whatnot, that that's become things increasingly affordable. But I think people have been, most of our talent has gone overseas. We've had that sort of leeching away of our talent to overseas markets.
Yeah.
I guess now that that digital publishing is coming to complement the comic book industry, we are seeing people who can self-start and do things themselves. And just, I think, judging from the comic book festivals and how they've gained popularity over the last 3 years in Australia, you're seeing more and more independent Australian artists bringing out their own original content. And that's great to see.
At the moment, do we know if there's there is a queer group of illustrators and artists and, you know, graphic novelists and cartoonists as such. But do we know of an actual body of queer artists and comic creators in Australia?
Not really. Publishing. They're more that there would be groups of people with common interests that might get together for collaborative projects.
Because there is the one at the substation of cartoonists, a queer one that's an exhibition on the 15th.
Sissy Boulevard?
Sissy Boulevard. There's that one.
They themselves have been involved in a lot of initiatives, some of the artists there, for bringing out, I guess, more publishing-based sort of anthologies and whatnot.
Yes, yeah.
So there are those projects that they're running in smaller groups there. Hopefully we can get a few of the artists from Sissy Boulevard also to Cartooning with Pride so they can talk more a bit about their work as well.
Because their opening's on the 15th and the Cartooning with Pride is the 28th. So that's a relief. But what a busy time January is. And for Midsummer. Fantastic. All right. So let's just go to where people can find out more about and yourself, Jimmy.
Okay. So Cartooning with Pride, for any Midsummer event, if you go to the Midsummer website, so midsummer.org.au, you can find the event listing there. Also, we've got a Facebook page set up. So if you look up Cartooning with Pride as one word, you can then find our event listing there. And also, if anyone else has any their own sort of events or groups or knows of any sort of initiatives that are going at the moment to help the GLTBIQA comic book industry in Australia, that feel free to be involved in discussing anything. Well, so like that's turn into a bit of a forum, I guess. My work, that if people look up Frankie on Tapastic, they can find my Frankie comic. And also I have my own website, so www.jimmytwin.com, and I post all my latest artwork and endeavours there.
Cool, excellent. Andrew, how can people find you and your work?
Yeah, so I've got my professional official website, which is andrewlee.com.au, so hopefully that's easy to remember. And then also the Tumblr, which we mentioned before, the Screaming Donut, that's my handle. Also my Facebook page, which I probably update the most, is if you just type in Andrew Lee in the search bar. But otherwise, the URL is Andy Lee Art. Yeah, so you can find all my stuff there pretty much, all my updates and all that, yeah.
Cool, it's really exciting. There seems to be a lot going on and good artwork like that and some really good creative things that are happening in the cartoon or comics. And if people are going, oh, cartoons, I don't like cartoons, well, think again, just check out those sites because you'll be surprised it's not what you may be thinking. We want to see everyone come along on the night because it's not just about cartoonists and creatives chatting. There's also going to be a sketch off, is that right, that's happening?
Yeah, so we're going to have this as a bit of fun, that if there's any budding artists who will be in the crowd, that will just have a little fun competition, that they're able to, during the panel discussion, they can come up with any sort of single panel sketch exploring anything that's been
said. Of the panel?
Yep, of the panel, what they're talking about, a key word, whatever's going along. And so we've got some great prizes and giveaways for those as well, just for a bit of fun.
Cool.
And there will be karaoke after, so if that's not an incentive, I'm not sure what is.
Yeah, I'm going just for that. Yeah.
You'll be coming along in the last 5 minutes. I was just here for the karaoke. No, you better not be, Andrew, because I will be there too for Queer Geeks of Oz, of course. So, and I am probably the least person, well, the person that knows the least about, well, I'm not a comics artist for a start, but I certainly do love what's going on, and both of you are doing a fantastic job.
Oh, cheers, thanks.
Thank you.
Cool. Don't you wish it was your full-time job, though?
Oh, certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah? Would you like to go that to that length, Andrew?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, just be able to create what you love and, yeah, get paid for it. That'd be awesome.
Mm. All right. I'll throw a last question. Sorry, guys, but I've just had a thought. If you were to choose a, say, in the two camps, Marvel or DC, a superhero or a character from those two universes, Andrew, which one would you like to take as the character you work with? You be the artist. Who would you choose? And the superhero pantheon.
Oh, my gosh.
You can do anything with him.
Oh, wait, when you put it that way, how can I choose then? Gosh, I have to go with Batman. He's the real deal, yeah.
Why Batman? What appeals?
Because he knows how to get the job done. You know, he doesn't mess around. And I think he'd be good at pretty much, you know, getting you to do your work, yeah, discipline you. And, yeah, I think that'd be pretty awesome. Like...
Yeah, he's a cool character.
And he can be fun when he, you know, when he feels like it. So, yeah.
Oh, you did a picture of Bruce Wayne, didn't you?
There's a Bruce Wayne. Yeah, in a suit and looking very suave.
Very suave.
Do I a while ago. Yeah, that's also a bonus as well. Let's not forget that.
Exactly. He's a smooth operator. And you're wearing a Batman t-shirt.
I am, so
you can't choose Batman.
No, but I I am a more of a Marvel, not DC person,
really?
I have to say.
Okay.
But I think that the one comic book character that I've, guess, related to most growing up and always had a big part of my heart is this lesser-known character called Silver Surfer. So it's about this man from another planet. So there's a planet called Zenla, and there's a guy named Norrin Rad, and he's endowed with this cosmic power, which is basically this unlimited source of power to create in the universe. But he's then... pretty much a loner, so a lonely existence. Goes around, he doesn't want the sort of credits for his work. He's got a lot of internal battles as well, so most comic book characters are flawed, so he's no exception to that. Mm. And I guess that's one character that has great potential that hasn't really been put to the fore of late. So
no,
I think
if
I want to take the mantle, like, bit disappointed with the movie adaptation of him, so through the Fantastic Four. It's a character that I think that great potential, maybe not in terms of the queer realm, but in terms of for people who feel that they don't necessarily fit into their universe themselves, to show that they do have that great power within, that they can do whatever they want to do. And I think that's one thing that
he's got a surfboard. So
he has a surfboard, yes.
It's a pretty weird character.
It is a very weird character, yeah.
But I do like it. I went to a convention a couple of years back, and there was a guy dressed as the Silver Surfer. It was great. He would carry a surfboard, and then when people wanted a photo, he'd put the surfboard down and jump on it. It was pretty cool. I don't think you could see where he was going very well because of the mask thing.
Yeah, I was just wondering, was
he wearing? One piece, isn't it? It's a one piece spandex outfit.
It would have to be, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, that's great. As I cannot draw, I'll stick to Wonder Woman as a stick figure, I think. Yeah. I don't think we'll go very far with that. Anyway, look, thanks so much for speaking to us on Sci-Fi on Screen. That's great. Thank you, Jimmy Twin.
Oh, thank you for your time.
Good luck. And with Cartooning with Pride, don't forget, people, January the 28th, 2015. And, of course, that's for Midsummer here in Melbourne Town. And to Andrew Lee, thank you.
Oh, no worries. It's been a pleasure. Thanks.
And don't forget, The Lead. What date's that for your exhibition again?
So the opening date is January 17, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. And it's on for 2 weeks after that. Yeah.
Cool. So get down there. So, yeah, you fall in love with these beautiful, beautiful pieces of artwork. Midsummer Festival. It's going to be a hot one in January, people. Don't forget to put your sunscreen on. But I guess for Cartooning with Pride, you won't need to because it's evening. Well, sun will be up. It'll be 7 p.m. It could be still pretty warm.
Yes, sun will be up, but we're inside.
They've got air conditioning, haven't they?
Oh.
I got a couple of fans there.
They're fans.
And if you're a fan, come along and see us on the night with that fabulous panel. Kenton Penley Miller, Queenie Chan, Andrew Lee, myself, Sonia Hammer, Jimmy Twin, and a chat with Michael Sun. This is Sonia here on Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Are you interested in the unknown?
Video games.
Old movies.
Horror.
Old TV.
Zombies.
Fantasies.
Comics.
The paranormal.
And science fiction.
Cult TV. Games and more. Then tune in Tuesday night at 10.
On Sci-Fi and Scream.
On Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a
free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.